Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this episode of Creative Caravan Roadshow. Your two co-hosts are here. I am one of them. I'm Suzanne Lawrence, and I'm here with Wendy Dewar Hughes. And we've got an exciting show lined up for you today. If you like sweet romance, either reading it or writing it. So, Wendy, I'm going to let you take it away and introduce our guest today. So, welcome to the show to you. And just tell us a little bit about our guest, if you would.
Well, I would love to. I'm so thrilled to be able to introduce our guest today, who is Christine Lindsay. And Christine is the author of award-winning Christian fiction. She loves to write novels that have the spice of danger, the lure of romance, the escape to the exotic, and all with the sweetness and ageless faith in Christ. So we have, I've read some of her books, and I can vouch for this, that they are have all of that. And actually, Christine and I share some of the same subgenre category stuff. And so I'm really excited to introduce Christine to us. So hello, Christine.
Hi, Wendy.
Now, let's begin by just talking a little bit about your background as a writer and how you got started, when you got started, what kind of led you to the kind of books that you write. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I don't know if I'm like a lot of writers, but I suspect that I may be. I started out being a writer of Christian fiction because my heart got broken. And I think that pretty much that fits everybody in the world. It was a very difficult time for me. It was back about 16 years ago when I was reunited with my birth daughter. That is the child that I relinquished to adoption in 1979. And through a lot of prayer, we met and were reunited, but the reunion was probably just as traumatic to me as relinquishing my child to adoption 20 years earlier. And I found that my heart had broken again. And so my husband one day went out about 16 years ago, and he went to the mall, and he brought back a brand new journal and a brand new beautiful fountain pen, and he put these things in my lap, and he said, "Here, honey, write it." And so
wow.
I began journaling like crazy. But as time went by, a number of years, I felt the Lord bringing emotional healing and spiritual healing to my life. And he began to say, "I think you should put what you have learned from emotional and spiritual healing from me into Christian fiction that could entertain people and yet at the same time maybe help them to find the emotional healing that you have received." So that's how my apprenticeship began about 16 years ago. It's not a quick process, but that was the beginning.
Wow, that's a very different story. I'm curious, too, because I know what kind of books you write. Tell us about your series. Like I mentioned before, Christine and I share some things in our writing. We like sweet romance. We like adventure. We like exotic locations. And yours is really different, plus yours is historical. So can you tell us a little bit about how you arrived at writing about the location and the topic that you have?
Well, I wanted to write. I started off wanting to write a nonfiction book about my birth mother experience. And I wrote that book, and nothing happened. So that was a little disappointing. But so then I thought, well, I'm going to write a book. I felt the Lord say, you know, put what you've learned into Christian fiction. So I thought, well, what kind of book do I like to read? And so I grew up, I was born in the British Isles in Northern Ireland, and so I grew up reading novels that were set in British colonial India. Now, to British people, British colonial India is as exciting to us as the Wild West is to Americans. You know, it's full of swashbuckling cavalry officers and English women and beautiful Indian women and palaces and danger and all sorts of things. And so I thought, well, I want to write a book like that, that has adventure and danger and suspense. And I believe in big love stories. I love a love story that keeps you to the very end. And so I thought, well, I'm going to write a book like that because I grew up on books by the great MMK, such as Far Pavilions and Shadow of the Moon. And so I thought, well, I'm going to write a book like that based upon my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wrote Shadowed in Silk. It was entitled Unveiled at the time. And I entered it in the American Christian Fiction Writers Genesis Contest. And lo and behold, in 2009, my book Shadowed in Silk won in the historical category. So that's how it kind of started off, and that's where I met my first publisher. And then I believe that the series kind of grew organically. There were things that I wanted to say. I fell in love with my characters. They became very real to me. And so that book evolved into a three-book series, taking all of these characters through to an ultimately happy ending. So that's where it is.
That's where it started. Tell us a little more about the series itself. What, you know, excuse me, because colonial India is something that we as Canadians and Americans aren't really in tune with. It's kind of a world apart. Can you tell us a little bit more about your research and your characters and the stories themselves?
Yes. Colonial India. India was basically large portions of India were owned by Great Britain. You've heard of the Great British Empire, and about maybe 100 years ago, most of the places on the map were colored pink, which designated that they were part of the British Empire. And India was probably what is often called the jewel of the crown. Many of the jewels and the wealth that India had was given to Great Britain. And so there was an awful time of struggle. The Indian people wanted to be released from being a part of Great Britain. And so I picked a very traumatic time, which was between World War I and just after World War II, when India started to fight for its independence. And so in some of my pages in the first book, Shadowed in Silk, you'll find Gandhi walking across the pages. In book two, you'll find a cholera epidemic. And book three, Failed at Midnight, is just after World War II when India is fighting and demanding its independence from Great Britain. So there's a whole wealth of settings in the background of great historical events that were very, very traumatic for both British people and Indian. And so I throw in my fictional stuff, you know, danger, suspense, Russian spies, inhospitable deserts and blood and guts to create a story that will maybe touch the average reader. Because one of the characters, the first character in Shadowed in Silk, Abby Fraser, she is struggling with something that my mother once struggled with, and that was the being married to an alcoholic man who was abusive. And believe me, there's a happy ending for Abby at the end of that book. And the story then evolves into her child's life, which then takes place at the end of the series in Veiled at Midnight. As the child of a grown-up alcoholic, he has to fight against his own demons. And so my character, Captain Cam Fraser, who is at this time the aide-de-camp to Lord Louis Mountbatten, he is fighting against his own inner demons in struggling against alcoholism like his father did. And he is also in love with a beautiful Indian woman. So there's lots and lots of things in the books. And I'm like you, Wendy. I love a big story that has it all. I know your books, too. They take readers to an exotic location, fill it through full of danger and suspense and romance. And that's just the kind of book that I like to write, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are really fun. Well, I know, Suzanne, you've probably got some questions for Christine, too, so I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay, great, yeah. Christine, tell us again, how many books are in the Veiled series?
The Twilight of the British Raj series is three books. It's so each book can stand alone with its own story. However, you do get the fuller, deeper story if you read all three because the characters, many of the characters start out in book one, continue on with book two with different stories, and then, like I say, ultimately the passionate and explosive finale is in the last book, Veiled at Midnight.
Wow. Okay. Now, I know somebody listening to this show is just dying to know, because I'm dying to know, when you were writing this series, did you know how many books you were going to write from the very beginning, or did you write one and then it seemed like another one needed to come? And if you did have them all planned out, did you? What was your writing process like? Did you outline? Did you write every day? You know, how soon did you have a book done? That kind of thing.
I think it was during the process. Well, first of all, book one, the first novel I wrote, took the longest to write. And I think that's the same for every author. You're basically learning with your first novel. And so Shadowed in Silk, I would say, took about 5 or 6 years. There were multiple revisions. I did reams and reams of research. I must have read about 200 books to do the research on Shadowed in Silk. But when it won the award, the Genesis Award by American Christian Fiction Writers, then it got picked up by a publisher. And so it was towards the end of that, when Shadowed in Silk was being polished up, that I realized there was more to this story. And so I then started on book two and then eventually book three. I would say that all three books came to me very quickly in my mind, so that Captured in Moonlight took much less time. It only took about 2 years, and then Veiled at Midnight took about 2 years as well. I'm a bit of a slow writer because I have to work as well as write. To be quite honest, I wish I could write every day, but I do like to take my time to write a quality novel. I'm proud to say that both Shadowed in Silk and Captured by Moonlight have won about... they've won about 4 awards, plus finaled in a number of awards as well. And I wish I could write every day, but I can't. When I have to go to my part-time job, I come home and I'm very tired. And so what I do then is I will maybe spend my off time in the evening doing marketing, so that I can wake up on my days off fresh as a daisy and start writing in the morning. If I don't get started writing in the morning, I don't do well. But if I start in the morning, I can... be at my laptop for 8 to 12 hours after that.
Wow, gosh. Okay, so that sounds reasonable. I know how that is. I can't write in the evening very much either. If I get it done in the beginning of the day, I'm good to go. So what do you enjoy most about writing?
I think I love everything about writing except marketing. I hate marketing. And if you didn't hear that, I'll say it again. I absolutely hate marketing. Everything else about writing I love. I love research. I love getting the first draft is always a bit of a struggle, getting that first draft on the paper. That always takes a lot out of me, and it takes a long time. But I love revising, editing, and I'm one of those people that actually loves cutting. The way I look at writing a book is like taking a lump of, like, I'm also an artist. I think if you find a writer, you will find that that writer is also an artist in many other ways. I know that Wendy is also a writer and an artist, and I'm the same. And so I think of writing a book as taking a bunch of clay on a wheel, on a pottery wheel, shaping it, molding it, making it, pounding out all the air bubbles and so forth. And then when that piece of clay is hard and dry, you then take your chisel and you start cutting away stuff. So your lump of clay is taking your plot, your outline, your whatever, your seat of the pants writing, whatever it is, getting your scenes down. And then when you think you're done, you go in and you start cutting off pieces. You start cutting off those extra words, those extra scenes that don't take you anywhere, and then you get it down to something that is worth polishing. So I love editing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the marketing is something that you don't like, so I would think that would be the most challenging part of being a writer for you. But the writing process itself, what do you find most challenging about that?
The writing process itself? Getting that first draft down. I may know in my head where I want this story to go. And I do like, I'm kind of a partial person. I'm an outliner and a seat of the pantser. But what I'll do is I will be thinking about a novel. Like, for example, the average writer, they've got about 3 books on the go. They've got the ones that they're marketing, the ones that they're editing, the ones that they're polishing, and then at the same time, in the back of their head, they've got the one they want to write next. And so while I'm driving down the road to do my grocery shopping, I'm thinking about all of that, but I'm often thinking about the book that I want to write in the near future, thinking, where do I want it to go? What do I want it to say? So that when I've got time to sit down and actually think about that book, I'll often start up a spreadsheet or even a bulletin board that's actually physical, and I'll start pinning things up and saying, where do I want my characters to go? And then I'll start thinking about an outline. And I like my outline to be fairly loose and general. I'll start off with where I want it to start and where I want it to end, and I'll kind of work my way forwards and backwards to the middle. And so I will get myself an outline. However, when I start writing, I'm a seat of the pantser, and if I find that my characters want to go another way, I let them take me there. Because quite often those characters will become very, very real, and they'll say, no, I do not want to do that. That's not the kind of person I am. This is where I think I should go. And so you have to listen to them. They're very insistent.
Yes, I think we've all felt that our characters can get kind of bossy and opinionated.
And they are the boss, believe me.
Right. Well, when did you get another question?
Yes, I know that you have written other books besides your India series. So can you tell us a little bit about those and what you're working on presently?
My India series is very much historical, but I love romance. And so in my historical series, I put in what I believe are big love stories. They couldn't be categorized as strictly romance, but I always offer a big love story in my historical novels, which is the series Twilight of the British Raj. But I also like sweet romance, and so I have a book. It's a short novella by Pelican Book Group called Londonderry Dreaming, and that is a current-day sweet romance that's set in Londonderry, Northern Ireland. And that can be found on my website as well, and the various places that it can be bought. The book that I am currently waiting for it to be released, it's all complete, ready to go. Pelican Book Group will release that book in April 2016, and that is a sweet historical romance called Sophie's Bridge. It's set in Washington State, and it's about a Seattle debutante who is helping her younger sister, who is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, except in 1913 they didn't call it that. And so she's running away to save her sister from an insane asylum, and she's running off with the gardener. He's a new gardener. He's just kind of been with them for about 2 months. He's an Irish immigrant, and so she trusts this man who says he's the gardener, but she doesn't know that secretly her Irish immigrant gardener is really Dr. Neil Galloway on the run from the British police, because he's wanted for murder. And so, but that book has got lots of sweet romance, and I would classify that as a sweet romance with some suspense and mystery. And so I do love sweet romance, and I'll be helping to promote other sweet romance writers. But currently, God has brought back my original dream, which started my writing process in the first place, and that was the desire to share my true life story as a woman who gave up her child to adoption and to our adoption reunion many years later. But the Lord had to do some work on my life and my heart. Often when we think we are fully healed of emotional trauma, we find that we're not, and God can slow that process down when we want to start telling our story. But 16 years after I started writing, the opportunity came up, and my publisher, Whitefire Publishing, asked me to write my nonfiction book. And so what I did is I'm telling my story, but I'm also weaving in other people's parts of that story. For example, my birth daughter will be telling her part of the story. Her adoptive mom will be telling her story. And I'm also weaving in the stories of other adoptive people and their adoption reunions, so that it tries to show a more full perspective on adoption and adoption reunion. The main reason for writing this story, though, is to show people what I learned through my heartbreak of relinquishing my child to adoption, and that is to understand the love of the Heavenly Father. And so my life verse, which started all of this writing process, which is now going to be in my book, which is called Just Like Hannah, and that will be released in the spring of 2016, it's all about my life verse in Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And so my book, Just Like Hannah, will be coming out in 2016. But really, anything that people want to know about me and about my books, you can find it all on my website, christinelindsay.com. Hmm.
Wow, that's a great love story, too, in its way, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's all about love. And that's why I write happy endings, and that's why I write about love, because the greatest person, the greatest love story, the greatest romance of all is our romance with the Lord God when he went out and looked for us and wooed us with his love through his son. Yeah, that's love.
Yeah, that's true. So that one's coming out in the spring. And
mm-hmm.
And do you have any more novels in the British tradition or that series as well, or is it done?
That particular series is complete. It's done and dusted. It's a complete series. I won't be writing any more about British colonial India. However, I am a Brit. We immigrated to Canada many years ago, but I am a Brit. And so I do have another series of books in my head, which will be showcasing people from the British Isles, but also entwining them with their stories in North America. But that's all in my head yet to be written down on paper.
It's in the process that I call percolating.
Yes. It's bubbling away.
It's bubbling away, yes.
But I do want to bring in more of my Irish heritage, and so the next book will be set in Ireland, and it will be... The setting is going to be a beautiful old manor set on the coast of Donegal, overlooking the rugged Irish coast. There's going to be mystery in there, and what I like to call not only mystery of danger in that, but also family mystery as well, and always with a great big love story, probably two love stories.
Wow, that sounds exciting. From your experience as a published author and your writing experience, what would you say is your best tip for beginning novelists?
I believe that you should give yourself a new middle name and call yourself Perseverance. The writing process, mm-hmm. learn how to become a writer, to write your novel, and to try and get it noticed by people is a long process. I think that one of the things I would like to advise aspiring writers is to not cut short their learning and their apprenticeship process. Many people will put out a book before they've done all of their learning. And so you really need to take courses. You need to read books on how to learn how to writing. Even if you can afford it, go to a writer's conference and learn how to write dialogue. Learn how to write scenes and proper scene structure. Learn how to self-edit. It's not a short process. And if I might even add, for one of the things in the Chilliwack area, Wendy and I are starting up a writer's chapter to encourage other writers and teach them how to write. And if you want to know more about that, people can contact Wendy and myself. But it's not a quick process. And you have to learn how it's going to take you a number of years to write something really, really good.
That's really good advice. And you know what, I think a lot of our listeners know that I also coach writers. And one of the things I usually use as an example is you don't expect, if you can be born with some musical talent, mm-hmm. but you don't expect to get up and play Rachmaninoff mm-hmm. right off the bat, because it's a craft, it's a skill, a set of skills. You have to learn these things to be able to do it well. Mm-hmm. And you've given us some really, really good advice. And I'm just going to turn it back over to Suzanne now, because we're going to change gears a little bit. because we've got some exciting things coming up with the Sweet Romance Writers International.
Yeah. One of those things is that, Christine, you're going to be one of the hosts for the virtual book tours that we offer other Sweet Romance Writers there. And I just want to tell people, if they want to find out more about Sweet Romance Writers International, just go to www.sweetromancewriters.com. And as a host, I mean, we're kind of just figuring out, helping you figure out what you do as a host, Christine, but you'll just have things that you put up to familiarize other romance writers, people that read romance, familiarize readers with other people's books. So, yeah. And also this next month in October, we're going to be hosting your virtual book tour to Sweet Romance Writers International. And I know you said that your new book is not coming out until April. So can you tell us which book we're going to be showcasing at the Sweet Romance Writers International in October?
That would be Londonderry Dreaming. Londonderry
okay.
Dreaming is my definitely sweet romance. It has a little bit of mystery, but it doesn't have the danger and espionage and all that. It is strictly a sweet romance. Londonderry Dreaming is set in Londonderry, Northern Ireland, and it's about two characters, and both of them, one is an artist, a visual artist, a painter, and her name is, oh my goodness, I've lost her name, Naomi. And the other one is a music therapist. And so this couple, they talk in music therapy and they talk in art, and they have a hard time telling each other how they really feel. And so that's their sweet romance, and that will be showcased, and it's called Londonderry Dreaming.
Great. Okay, good. And what we generally do on the website, Sweet Romance Writers International, is people will be able to go there, learn more about you, see your author bio. We will interview you, probably put this interview up. We may even interview you again about that specific book to just get more information. And then if you have a trailer for the book, we'll put that up on the site. And then there'll be a five-day tour where you will provide information about some of the stuff we've talked about today, but in five different blog posts, so that it will go out on five different sites. So that's the neat thing about these virtual book tours. People have the opportunity to get their book promoted at different blogs that get traffic for the target market, for, you know, your readers. So that's going to be kind of cool, too. So people can find out more about that. And then just by going to streetromancewriters.com. But we're also going to be putting Christine's showcase up next month. We're, Wendy and I are both kind of doing our own writing at the moment and getting behind with stuff. So we want to have plenty of time to promote your virtual book tour, Christine. So by the middle of next month, we're going to be showcasing you there, so people can find out a little bit more about that. Yeah, and we also want to let listeners know that if you are a sweet romance writer, or you have a site, an online site, that targets people who like to read sweet romance, and you'd like to host this our blog tours, you just sign up for a specific day of our five-day tours, and then during the month when you have time to be available for a tour for that one day, then you can host the that day of the writer's tour. So I think something good, too, that people can keep into account is if you go to sweetromancewriters.com and you look at all the authors showcased there and you listen to the show like today and you find out what it takes to become a sweet romance writer and really learn the skills involved, and then you can enter our contest, because we've got contests going on. And I know you mentioned, Christine, about winning the contest for your book and how that resulted in a contract from a publisher, at the interest of publishers.
Oh, yeah.
So contest, yeah, always good things.
I just want to take a moment, too, to tell everybody about the contest, which is at creativecaravanpress.com. We're doing another anthology for short stories, and our theme this time is mountains, so it's sweet mountain love. So think of that cabin in the mountains or that hiking experience or whatever. But all the details are on creativecaravanpress.com, and it's very inexpensive to get into the contest. And the prize is a fabulous promotional package for the winning authors. So that's a good place to go for sweet romance writers.
Sounds exciting. Yeah.
We are all out of time. I told you this always goes quickly, especially I've got so many wonderful things to talk about. So, Christine, thanks so much for being with us today. It's been wonderful talking with you, learning more about your books. I can't wait to find out more when we do your tour next month. And welcome to our list of blog hosts. That's going to be really great. So best of luck with all your books, and we'll be talking to you more from next month. So thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Susan. This is great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Wendy.